exciting afternoon?
Thrilling, can't you tell?
What are you doing tonight?
I'm busy.
With what?
I'm going out.
With who?
Does it matter?
Where are you going?
None of your business.
Are you seeing someone?
Not exactly.
Okay, you're sounding very sketchy right now.
I'm going to a bar to meet someone.
Who?
I don't know yet.
So she's going to a bar to get laid then? Let's see.
No, she is going to a bar to have her needs met by some lovely gentleman she's yet to meet, who is cute enough to sleep with, but not nearly mature or stable enough to marry.
I want that.
Well, you can't come, because everyone will think we're together.
Okay, I think you're giving yourself a lot of credit.
I was being generous.
But we're gonna be each other's wing people tonight. Now, how diverse is the clientele at this local drinkery?
I would say very diverse.
I remember what life was like before dating apps. Both excited and terrified for tonight.
I don't think I ever said you could come.
Okay, so what time, though? And is there a dress code? Because I just want to come prepared.
Hello, Schitt's Creek fans. Welcome to another episode of Schitt's and Giggles. We are a Schitt's Creek podcast where every other week we discuss another episode from the series, and we're going in chronological order. I am one of your two hosts. My name is Paul McCambridge, and with me, as always, is my lovely wife, Carla. Carla, how are you?
I'm good. I'm feeling a little political today.
Oh, okay. All right, great. All right. Well, it's not November yet or any sort of special election, but we are talking about a potential election? Upcoming election.
Upcoming, I think
it's
a good word.
It's not potential.
Right.
The election will happen at some point.
Yes.
Before we get started, our Funkos have started to arrive. Our pop figures. And I know.
So super exciting.
I'm sure many of you listening probably ordered or maybe missed out on ordering or something.
Or your order's gotten canceled. I know people are talking about that, too, and saying that they had them ordered, and unfortunately the order was canceled.
Yeah, we got in March. It was around mid-March.
Was it?
Yeah, it was March. I don't know. When ours showed up from Amazon, I looked. I think it was March 14th.
Okay.
Something like that. Okay. So it just showed up, and just in case, you know, you're not listening to this in real time, let's say it's August 1st now.
Yeah.
So our Johnny Rose showed up first and Alexis showed up the very next day.
Yeah.
But we're still waiting. I mean, we got Moira through Amazon, but David was gone by the time we even tried to order.
Right. Yes. So we ordered both Davids.
Yes.
Right? From another, I forget.
Yeah.
Big Apple, I think. Right? Yeah.
And, so who knows? Who knows when those will show up?
I know.
Hopefully soon enough.
I can't wait for the Davids. Where's David David?
Right. Yes.
I'm super excited for that one.
And you and I talked, and it's bizarre that they would have two Davids and not two.
Everybody's?
Of every character.
Oh, yeah. They could. Yeah. There's so much. But like we also said, though, we feel like the only person it would be slightly difficult to have two of. Really difficult, but Johnny, because his attire is so specific.
It's pretty standard.
Right. Yeah. They could do his white suit.
That's what I think. That would probably be
their only other option, because everything else would look basically the same.
I know. And I'm even thinking.
Or they could do, shopping for a car, Johnny.
Oh.
That would be fun. And a shopping for a car, Moira. They should go together. We haven't discussed that episode yet, which is a great one.
I don't know, though. But, there's so many Moira choices.
Oh, I know. And again, I think it should go back to Where's David? When they go to find David and she's in that crazy hat and those tights, like that is probably one of my all-time favorite Moira outfits.
So not a...
I love that one.
Not a lab coat... You know,
Clarice Mandrake one?
Yeah.
That one would be fun, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love that outfit, though, in Where's David?
But I do think, and I was telling you this before, I do think before they do that, They should make a Stevie.
Yeah.
And they need to make a Roland.
Yeah.
And I know that you said Jocelyn, but I almost feel like Jocelyn's in the same...
But Jocelyn could have a little kitty cat sweatshirt on. No, How cute would that be?
I'm not saying you couldn't do anything fun, but I feel like, and people can disagree, people can let us know what they think. I feel like the second tier characters are probably Stevie and Roland. Maybe you could put Ted in there, but I don't think so. I think you have to step down just another step to get to Ted and Mutt and Jocelyn.
I don't know. I feel like Jocelyn's more second tier. I feel like she's in a lot of really important episodes and has a lot of interaction with them.
And then you take another step down, you get to the rest of town council, right?
Like Ray and Ronnie and Bob.
And Bob.
And, yeah, like who else?
I think that's it. I think that's it because those are...
the big ones.
Regulars, let's say. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, you have those Twin Peaks ones. Are all those people, would you consider all of... I'm not as familiar with that show. Are they like all super main characters, or do you think any of those are like second tier? Like eventually they might do a little like addition to the main cast.
And our kid's drawing of a penguin is covering them right now, so I can't see them. But... oh, you're getting up and you're going over. They're all laying down, though.
They've all fallen over.
I would say, and this is turning into the Twin Peaks podcast.
Totally. I cannot accompany a Twin Peaks podcast.
I'd say the tall man is the only questionable one. Okay. Everybody else.
Yeah, the other ones seem just from the sense. She's might be my favorite.
The log lady.
Oh, she's adorable with her cute little glasses holding her log. Okay, anyway, back to Schitt's Creek.
R.I.P. log lady.
We'll leave the Funko Pops for now.
Yeah, maybe next episode we'll talk about it again.
Maybe we'll have the rest of our set will be completed.
Right, yeah.
We'll have Moira and our Davids.
I assume everyone is writing that skip button right now to get to when we start talking about the episode.
Yeah, or hopefully they're skipping and not just like,
unsubscribing.
Right.
Saying,
yeah.
This is a waste of my time.
I don't know. I think we're very good that we don't. I don't think we go off on too many tangents. I think we're.
No, we don't.
Try to stay pretty focused.
And I always wonder.
So bear with us.
Certainly going to be one of our longer episodes. I always wonder if people enjoy tangents or don't. Because personally, when I'm listening to podcast, it really does depend on the show.
I agree. I think it depends on how far off they get and how long they're off topic, course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it might be okay if you stray a little bit, but if you, you know, like really start to get off and stay off for a long time, I think it can disrupt the flow of your discussion.
Sure. No, and I think that we normally don't. I mean, we normally get right into the episodes, and I always wonder if that's strange, because hosts normally have some sort of weird banter, but sometimes it sounds forced anyway.
So. We have weird banter all the time, so...
Oh, yeah, in our regular lives.
Well, yeah, because we live in the same house.
We can keep it professional when
we're
doing a podcast. We can get right to it.
Right, yeah. We're very focused.
That's right.
Plus, we know we have a small window of time before either our children or our dog starts to bother us.
Yeah.
So there's that, too.
Right. So let's get into it then. Now that our, I don't know, studio table, let's call it, is covered with Funkos.
Twin Peaks Funkos.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So we are talking about episode 7 of season 2, The Candidate.
Yes.
Or The Candidate. Or The Candidate.
Wow. I don't know.
I think I say candidate.
No.
I do too.
Candidate? Candidate.
I say candidate.
You just said I do too when I said candidate.
I know. That was wrong. I don't say that.
Okay. We're off to a smashing start here. if you're still with us, thank you.
Congratulations.
Good for you.
Hanging
applause.
In this long.
Okay, so anyway.
This episode, whatever it's called, the original air date was February 16th of 2016.
Okay.
This episode is directed by Paul Fox, who we've talked about before. Mm-hmm. But at 9 episodes, we've reached the halfway point of his Schitt's Creek career. I think he goes through into season 4.
Okay.
But I think that's it. I don't think he goes beyond season 4. Yeah. And I think he might direct the first episode in season 4, and then that's it for him.
Mm-hmm.
This is written by Kevin White. It's his first writing credit in season two.
Okay, I was going to say that's not as a familiar name.
Okay, yes.
Compared to Paul Fox.
Yeah, the episodes that he previously wrote were Bad Parents, Wine and Roses, okay. and Carl's Funeral.
Okay.
All of which were good. Yeah. I think we enjoyed those.
Yeah.
So that's that. Mm-hmm. So we can just jump in and get started with the episode.
Okay. So we open at the cafe.
Yes.
And it starts out with Twyla. Always love a good Twyla moment. There's a lot of Twyla moments in this.
There are.
I feel like she pops up a couple times.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Well, of course. Yeah. Based on what Alexis is
right.
doing and
yes.
stuff like that.
Yeah. So it's a big Twyla episode.
Also, I think I should say, and if it doesn't mess up the episode, I will cut this part out when I edit. Mm-hmm. This is the first time we've watched two episodes in a row before recording. Mm-hmm. I'm just afraid I'm going to get the two confused.
Oh, well, you're going to have to pay close attention to your notes.
Well, that's the thing. But even just talking about Alexis later, I'm like, was that this episode? All right.
Yeah, we're trying to switch things up a little bit.
I know.
It may or may not serve us well.
So far, not so much. But let's move forward.
All right. So, yes, we do open at the cafe. Twyla is congratulating Moira on her announcement that she's running for council.
So how do you think this rumor even got started? Because it was really, I mean, she stood up to Roland.
Right.
In the last episode. Mm-hmm. And Ronnie sort of congratulated her and was like, hey, nice job. But
maybe it was just the people that were there at the meeting.
I get there weren't that many people.
No, there wasn't.
Other than what's her name in the wheelchair. She
Jennifer.
Was there. Jennifer in
right.
the wheelchair. And then there were a couple
other
people in the background
randoms,
who I just assume are always Jessica
we'll
just hanging around.
Oh, maybe.
But okay. I mean,
it probably someone said she should run for council.
Right.
She,
so it's a
you know,
Schitt's
you
Creek.
Get stuff done. So right. maybe it was a little bit Ronnie based.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know if Ronnie's a gossiper. I don't get that impression.
I don't
from her
either.
At all.
But you're right. I mean, this could be like a Schitt's Creek game of telephone. Mm-hmm. And by the time it got to Twyla,
right.
it was that she
is
running.
Running for council.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. But Moira, first of all, has not heard this rumor mm-hmm. and wants none of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think she says she'd sooner poke her eyes out with hot pins
yeah.
is what she says. And then dances around trying not to insult the town.
Yeah.
That was a bit awkward and strange because in the past we've seen her just insult without a thought or
right.
regard for
yeah.
whoever she's talking to.
Yeah, she was trying to pick her words carefully, I guess.
Yes, yeah. And I like how Twyla seems oblivious to it, but kind of wants her to finish. Mm-hmm. It's like, what? Is what?
Mm? Yeah.
So that was a good interaction to start the episode.
And I'm trying to remember, was she sitting there with Johnny?
Yes.
Right? Because mm-hmm. he was talking about and kind of telling her, like, well, maybe you need to channel your passions
right.
somewhere, you know, and they're, you know, need the right person. And
right,
she,
exactly.
I like her line when she talks about never assume it makes an ass out of both of us.
Both of us, yes.
yeah, so Johnny is sort of, I think, intrigued about this whole thing, but is sort of saying to her, like, maybe this would be a really great thing for you. Maybe you should do this.
Yeah.
But as he tries to convince her, I think he is realizing that she might not be the best candidate.
I mean, I think we can talk about it a little bit
job.
Later, but I think it's one of those things where I'm not sure how stir crazy she's getting. I mean, she's kind of locked in that motel all day. She goes to the cafe, but other than that,
other
than
sense.
Fighting for those boxwoods, that was the most exciting thing she's really had
right.
to do. That has nothing to do with selling the town
right.
or nothing to do with her family members and stuff like that. So, yeah, maybe he's or she is just driving him a little crazy, and he's like, this is a good way to channel
could,
that or give you something to do.
Okay. Yeah. You could definitely be right there.
We're suddenly, after our opening music, we are mm-hmm. into the motel.
Mm-hmm.
We're in David and Alexis's room.
Very messy room at that.
Very messy.
Yeah.
You know, we've already had the joke about her mess mm-hmm. on her side of the room,
mm-hmm.
but it's really noticeable for some reason now.
Yeah.
And David notices that she is storing things under his bed.
Right.
It's so messy.
And she's just kind of too distracted.
She's too
distracted.
Any
of her mess. Yeah. So she just needs room. She doesn't have enough room for her things. She's also, I'm sorry. She needs the room. I'm looking at my notes and don't know what I wrote, but she needs the room because she wants to have a friend over, which I thought is super cute. Like a little, like, you know, junior high sleepover.
Yes.
Yeah. She needs the room tonight to invite a friend over. Or also when you hear someone saying, I need the room, that reminds me of like, you're having a guy over.
Well, that's what
Right.
Strangely enough.
Yeah, like when she first says it, that's what you're kind of thinking.
I even assumed that this time. Watching it again, I had totally forgotten about the Twyla thing.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought, because even when David said, what? Why do you need the room or something like that? Because she needs him to get out.
Right.
She needs him to not be around.
Right. It's a girls' night with Twy.
Right.
Her good buddy Twyla.
Her good buddy, because she has tea with her
every day, even though David said she could be a serial killer.
Right.
Which I thought was really funny, because have you met Twyla?
Uh-huh.
Like,
yep.
But yes, they have tea together every day, and he's kind of like, well, where's she going to sleep? And, you know, and everything. So, yeah.
Yeah, Alexis hasn't thought this through at all. But I like how she says they're going to talk about boys that we both know and have dated.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I mean, this is a good episode for Alexis. She's getting to do a lot in this episode, and it's just, it's one of those things that I hadn't thought about until this moment, or until this episode, how I guess she has always been with a guy or had someone on her radar.
Someone's chasing her.
You know, perhaps, you know, those, I was going to say trashy friends of hers. They're not trashy. But, you know, she's been surrounded by a lot of other people her own age and people of similar wealth. And she really hasn't, even since they arrived here, I mean, after that truck party, she kind of hasn't been without a guy that she's been pursuing or anything like that.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, so this is kind of she's kind of, I think, a little bit lost right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Not really sure what to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Twyla's going to solve those problems.
Definitely.
Give her something to do for a little while.
Right.
So now we're at Johnny's office / Bob's garage.
Yes.
And Johnny has now, I guess from his walk from the
cafe
to the garage.
Yeah.
Has
decided
really,
council is the path for him.
It sounds like what he wants to do, which is, I don't want to say it's bizarre, but maybe he's realized this whole business thing, this whole
trying
to start a new business
isn't
working out. And I mean, we've kind of already seen evidence of that where he's
It
doesn't seem to be doing anything all
Well,
day.
I think there's a lot of distractions at the garage, you know, like doing oil changes and scheduling maintenance for Bob.
And but, we don't know how he got started anyway. We don't get a whole lot of his past, because it's a lot easier to start a business if you have hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars at your disposal, and then you're just trying to start a business in the back of Bob's garage. Like that's
without
money,
really.
How do you start that?
Oh, and, of course.
So,
yeah. So, yeah, they have a whole conversation. He brings up the fact that Ray's seat is kind of up for grabs, which, of course, Bob has to jump right on that comment, up for grabs.
Yep. Bob's like, I could say something very inappropriate right now, but I wouldn't. And he's just laughing because Johnny even says it again, up for grabs, and Bob cannot contain himself.
Yeah.
This
is,
again, I don't know, how many episodes are we in now? In a row where Bob is a somewhat significant character, or if not, like the last episode, he at least has some lines and can't type.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He has been all over season two.
He's really popped up a lot recently, especially with more council kind of stuff in there and in the garage.
And other than Bob's bagels, where I personally, maybe it wasn't you, I wasn't crazy about that because he's doing way too much. He's still so funny.
Oh, absolutely.
In this episode, he's great. This little interaction is fantastic.
So it ends up that Johnny, of course, is there, as we said, because he wants to talk to Bob a little bit about that he has decided to throw his hat in the ring for Ray's seat, which is, as we said, up for grabs.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I like how, you know, John even talks about how he helped somebody run, like a councilman or a congressman or something. And I like how Bob goes, I don't know, this might be pretty small potatoes for that guy.
I know. I thought that was really funny, too. I'm like, Bob just doesn't listen.
No.
Like, not at all. Like, the whole Bob's Babel thing. Babel thing. He didn't listen. Like, Bob literally does not listen to anything that Johnny says,
right?
Ever.
No, of course. Yeah. But Johnny does tell him that he was president,
yes,
of the Video Retailers Association.
Yeah.
So whatever that
I
means.
Know. Johnny is like totally fishing for this. This nod, this nomination, whatever.
But he doesn't come out and say that at all. Like,
yeah.
I just thought he was kind of just asking Bob, you know, would this be a good idea? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, could he, you know, he doesn't even say, like, could you talk to Roland about this? Mm-hmm. Or what do you think? I thought the best part about this scene was when Bob says they'd be working together at the garage,
yes,
and they'd be on town council.
I think maybe you have a crush on me.
Right. It's like if
I didn't
know
better.
Yes.
Right. Because of obviously they're together, mm-hmm, in many different capacities,
right,
now.
Right. Yes.
Yes. So that was like, of course, again.
Yeah. It's a great line from Bob.
A funny little interaction between them.
Exactly. So we're back to Twyla, or sorry, we're back to Alexis
in
the cafe.
Right.
And Twyla's very busy. Twyla's like trying to bust tables and, mm-hmm, stuff, and Alexis...
Do her job, basically.
Yeah, do her job.
Which, again, I don't think Alexis notices, because she doesn't even...
No, of course.
Yeah, think about people working.
She doesn't think... I mean, even when she says that she and Twyla have tea together, it's almost as though... That's what she thinks is happening during these interactions.
Right, when really Twyla's just serving her tea and Alexis probably is
David's
talking
like,
to her.
She serves you tea.
Right, yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
But no, I mean, and also, other than Ted and Mutt, I don't think she's made any connections in this town.
Yeah,
like,
we don't really see anybody
right,
in this
she's
town.
She's not
that's
really talking
and...
to anyone else.
No.
And she does talk to Twyla on a daily basis.
Right.
So strangely enough, in her mind, this probably does kind of
make totally.
Sense.
She's like, okay, on to the next person,
you know,
I can.
But she's inviting her over and she's like, hey, when you get off work? And Twyla says, well, I'm working late this evening and everything.
And she said, well, how late? What time do things close? And
right.
She's like, when people leave and
yep.
What time does that happen? And you can tell Twyla is not...
Twyla's not
interested
in this at
I
all.
I think she definitely... She's too nice to say it, but she harbors some bad feelings towards Alexis,
right.
Of
oh, yeah,
course,
yeah.
Because of the whole Mutt thing. Because she
yes.
even, you know, Alexis shares with her that she and Mutt broke up, and Twyla
right.
even sort of references the fact that you had me
yeah.
break up with him, and then you started dating him. So, yeah, and Twyla also recommended her. She said, when I broke up, I just needed that alone time, that
mm-hmm.
time to regroup.
Yes.
So
yeah.
she is not
And
interested.
Alexis is even like, I'm totally doing that right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So Twyla is not interested at all.
No, Twyla doesn't want to make some sort of friendship with this person who she just serves tea to.
Well, right. And also somebody who kind of like screwed her out of her boyfriend.
Right,
you know?
Right. Exactly. Oh,
she
yeah, of course.
Knows the manipulation that sort of happened with that.
Yes.
She's not interested.
And none of this, I mean, all of this is going over
Alexis's
head.
Well,
yeah.
right. And yeah, like I would kind of think like if you stole a guy from someone, you're not then going to seek out that person for a
well, right.
all-girl sleepover best friend
right.
kind of situation.
No.
Of
but
course, like
also,
but Alexis
and
would
I don't,
do that.
And I don't want to make up Alexis's past, but this might happen all the time.
Oh, I'm sure it
like
does.
Like they're constantly probably stealing guys from each
yeah.
other and stuff like that.
Oh no, definitely.
And then flying to exotic locations
yes.
and everything. So
nope. I absolutely
yeah.
think that's the case
right.
with that her probably her circle of friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we are now at town council.
Mm-hmm.
Roland has stopped in to pick up a form.
No, Johnny has stopped in to
Sorry,
pick up a
Johnny
form.
Stopped
and
in.
We're just like it's just kind of in their little office space there.
Yeah. The I don't, whatever that space is.
Yeah, like, I don't really know what that, is that building considered? Like, I don't know.
It
the
looks
council
like
building?
A, it looks
like
a church.
Yes, yeah.
It looks like an old church
right.
that was
I think we've mentioned
converted
that.
Into town council slash
Jezigal
practice.
Slash town council, town hall. I guess it's a town hall.
Town
Duh,
hall.
I don't know why it took me that long to get to those words. But yeah, so he basically goes to the
I
town
I did think
hall.
I called it a town council place. So town hall, it's a lot better. That's what we call it.
Oh, man. Yeah. So he shows up. Roland's mm-hmm. kind of just chilling at his desk.
Oh, no, he's on the phone. having
That's right. He was on the phone. A very personal conversation.
Casual, flirty. You assume Jocelyn's on the other end of this call.
Yeah, or a good friend.
A very good friend. Yeah. But no, he was just rescheduling his colonoscopy.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And he does not think town council is a good fit for Johnny.
No.
At all.
Not at all.
No.
Like, he really kind of digs into Johnny quite a bit.
Yep.
About
and,
it.
You know, it's mainly, I think, and it comes out, it's mainly like, it comes out a little bit later, but like, you don't understand us. Mm-hmm. You are not like us. Now, he doesn't say that at all. Mm-hmm. He makes it about how you're basically a celebrity around town and you can't do anything without the press like harassing you. Yeah. It is so bizarre.
It was an odd conversation between them.
Yeah, because he says you can't even go into a restaurant without people knowing you and talking to you. And even Johnny's like, there's one restaurant in this town and everyone already knows each other.
Right, yeah.
And he said that Roland said you could just be taking your son for an ice cream cone and it turns into a media circus. To which Johnny says, well, your son's 30 and you never see him.
That was like an odd exchange.
It's an odd exchange.
But then Roland kind of gives in to him and he's like, here, I'm going to give you your form. I'll even give you your first signature. And he signs it and kind of hands it over.
And I like when he gives it to Roland, he's like, you signed on the date. And he's like, it's not that it matters anyway.
Yeah, right.
And then he talks to his soda bottle. Did you notice that at the end of the
episode? I don't think I caught that.
He looks at his soda bottle and he's like, num, num, num. I'm so thirsty. You're going to come to me. It's a very bizarre last line of the scene.
Oh, yeah. I don't know that I noticed that part.
And he's also alone at town council.
Yeah. I mean, Bob's at the garage. We couldn't see anybody else there.
Yeah, the way they're talking and the way that, you know, nobody else jumps in or anything like that. Yeah, he is just sitting alone there.
Yeah.
So now we are exterior motel.
Yes.
Because David's looking for something to do tonight because there's going to be a slumber party in his room.
Right. He needs to evacuate his room.
So he goes to Stevie. He sees Stevie outside, I don't know, with like a pile of sheets or something. I don't know what she's doing
out there.
Wasn't
she filling the soda machine?
Like the soda machine?
Was she filling that?
Doesn't seem like that would be her job.
She has definitely done that, right. I believe.
Yeah. I'm just saying in real life.
I don't think. You know, no, motel whoever, owners like, go it's out gonna and be buy Coca-Cola is filling that, right. I would think, but I don't know. Maybe not.
I don't know. You can buy like gumball machines for your home, so
who knows? You know? I don't know. But yeah, so she's busy. She's going to be going out later.
Right.
And it's none of his business who she's going out to meet or where she's going.
To see a man or something. And he's like, oh, who is this person and everything? But it's sort of revealed that she's just going to a bar to meet some random dude.
Right. And have a random hookup, basically.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And David takes it upon him to invite himself.
Oh, he invites himself along. He's like, we have to be prepared to be each other's wing people.
Yep.
So, yeah, he's totally inviting himself into this whole exciting
And it's fun,
venture.
Too, because she at first does not want him to come. Like, it's not even their funny little banter at first. She's like, no, I'm going.
Right.
You're not coming with me. But almost like Alexis doesn't understand this Twilight interaction. He doesn't get this. And he's like, I'm going. Don't worry.
Right, yeah.
I'll be there. But then they are kind of having fun and, you know, poking each other the way they do.
Yes.
I like his cool little shimmy dance as he walks away.
Oh, his dance is great. I like that too. Yeah. And he talks about like what the dress code is so he can be prepared as he's kind of like walking away. But he walks away and basically does a little shoulder shimmy.
Yeah. I do like how he asks how diverse the clientele of this bar is. Mm-hmm. And also he still is using an online dating app, which I found very interesting.
Yeah, who are you finding? But he mentions someone, right?
He mentions someone later when he's at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
But, and this might come as a shock to you, I'm not using an online dating app right now or ever.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you have to pay for those? Like,
yeah, I think so.
I don't think it's free. And
Do
you think he's using the store credit card?
Oh, probably.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, or maybe you, I don't know, maybe
I don't
he
know.
Has,
it's...
you might be able to get like a package that lasts for like
oh maybe
6 months or a year okay. or, you know,
I don't know how that works either.
Yeah. Hmm. But yeah, so maybe it's a situation like that, like maybe right. he just still has his
maybe.
Package. I don't know.
Or maybe they're free ones. I don't know. I'm not
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I don't know either. Yeah. I don't think there's anything that would be free.
Yeah. Or you just go from one to the other and you have your like
your
30-day
trial maybe.
And just move on to the yeah. next. So now, all right, so we're actually still at the motel,
mm-hmm.
but we are now in Moira
Johnny
and Johnny's room.
Moira's room, yes.
And Johnny comes in and he says that, have you heard there's a rumor going around town about me?
Yes.
And she's very funny when she says, mm-hmm. it's only because you converse with women and dress so well.
Yeah. But yeah, he says about, yeah. you know, about me running for council. Mm-hmm. And she said, no, that was me.
Right. You were
and
with
she
me.
Said, should I call a neurologist?
Right.
Which
you were
I thought
with
was
me
funny.
At the cafe today.
Yes.
If this keeps happening, I'm going to have to call a neurologist.
Yes.
And she tries to discourage him
right.
from this.
Yeah, kind of saying, yeah. like she says, you'd be a godsend to council, mm-hmm. but you really should have bigger plans.
Right, yes.
Other stuff to do.
And have you ever tried to deal with, you know, these town people? It can be like wrangling monkeys.
Yeah. Yep. The council and focusing on that. And,
yep.
You know, council is beneath you, she tells him.
Right, yes.
So, yeah. She's...
So, I mean, it's one of those things where... As he's trying to convince her, he's convincing himself. And as she's trying to unconvince him,
dissuade,
that's yeah. right. She's kind of starting to convince herself
yeah.
that this might be a good idea for her.
Yep.
Oh, we're back to Stevie because we're
yes.
in the motel lobby.
Yes. And Alexis shows up and just basically walks in and sits down on the couch. And
she brings her own magazine
yeah.
with her and hangs out in
yeah.
the lounge area,
the lobby yeah.
area, the waiting room,
yeah,
the espresso bar, whatever,
right,
whatever
yeah.
you want to call it.
Yeah, she just comes in, sits on the couch. She's taking some me time, she tells Stevie.
Yeah, she's taking me time,
yeah.
and she really talks to Stevie. Like, she is so lost. She
mm-hmm.
does not know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
She asks her...
if it's hard for her to be there
yeah.
all day by herself.
Right.
And everything.
Stevie's response is, you know, snide and super cool, as you would mm-hmm. assume Stevie is, where she's like, I know all these people, and I prefer my own company over talking
right,
to
right, I'm totally okay.
Them.
Yeah.
Yes. And I like how Alexa says, do you have the uncontrollable urge to talk to people or be complimented? I found that interesting. But
yeah.
she's getting just as frosty interaction.
Yeah, reception.
From I can't think of words today.
Yeah.
From Stevie as she did from Twyla.
Yeah.
Probably more so. Because
Stevie has no time for
any
it.
Of this.
Yeah, no.
Stevie
Twyla's
can't wait.
Stevie's
busy reading a book and she's ready to go to that bar tonight. Her mind is not on Alexis's issues. So now we're back at, I guess,
the town hall.
This is the same building, right?
Yeah,
this
I
is
think
the
so.
Jazz of Gals.
I think.
Rehearsal studio.
Yeah.
Because okay. the interior to me, I think the establishing shots are the same building. I think.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah. It all happens in the same place.
All right.
I'm
Do
pretty sure.
Do you notice
certain.
Their desks, though?
I don't know if it's another room or if they move their desks out of the way or if it's supposed to just be a one
Seems
room.
Seems like a lot of work to just move desks around
yeah,
every
I don't
time.
Know.
But
I would think
maybe
as
that's
well.
What they do.
But yeah, so they, so we're at a Jessica's
uh-huh.
rehearsal. And Jocelyn comes in and she announces a big announcement that she is running for council. And it's a real hoot.
Okay.
Her words, not mine.
And
she's running unopposed.
Running unopposed. It takes some of the fun out of it, of course.
Yes.
And Moira now, I mean, if she was not convinced beforehand.
Oh, she totally wants this now.
She wants it so badly.
Mm-hmm.
She even brings Twyla into the conversation
because
she's like, what were you saying to me earlier, Twyla, about how
right.
I should be running? And,
yeah.
And that's not what Twyla said either. But Ronnie jumps in and Ronnie's like, yeah, you know what? You probably should run. That would be interesting. The
not
competition
a bad idea,
could be fun.
Yes, to have a little
yes.
bit of competition. Mm-hmm.
And again, I know that Ronnie is part of the Jazzy Gals, and I'm sure that she and Jocelyn are friendly, but I could see Ronnie being like, do I want two shits on this council? Like,
yeah.
She might not want this. Like, yeah, maybe. Just the way that she stepped in and she already saw how Moira stands up
right,
to yes. Roland, she seems kind of eager to...
Yeah, no, that's maybe a good point.
Maybe not have two members of the same family in here.
Yeah, yeah. So. And Jocelyn kind of... Like, they haven't really totally expressed that Moira's going to do it because they're just talking about, like, oh, some competition would be right. great. Maybe someone else could run. And Jocelyn's like, oh, do any of you townies want to put your name on right. the ballot? Like, basically trying to... Because I think she knows that Moira's sort of chomping at the bit for this now.
Yeah.
So she's trying to throw it to the townspeople.
Sure.
You know, and get them in. And Moira basically said, well, if Jocelyn can do it, anyone can.
Anyone can. Oh, their relationship is oddly contentious, like, early in this series.
Yeah. Yeah, Moira is not always kind to her at all.
Right, no. Yeah. And I would say, you know, probably... I think things probably do get better after the town council stuff.
Yeah.
Because I don't think she's... quite as aggressively rude to her. I mean, she'll still say things throughout the series, but at this point,
but it's a little
pretty
more
rough
in a Moira charming way. I think when she right. says it other times, it's or not just, so much like a dig.
Charming
like,
way,
I think this stuff
right,
is
a charming way,
a...
or just out of ignorance, like just not understanding what you're saying. But here, you know, she knows what she's doing. So we are back at the motel. David is talking to Alexis about how he's going out to a bar tonight.
A sketchy bar.
Sketchy
Which
bar.
Which is totally her scene.
That's her scene.
She loves going to sketchy bars to meet randoms.
Yes. She should be the one going to a sketchy bar. She should be the one who goes missing.
Yes. Yes. But she has a mask on her face and it still has 20 minutes left.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah.
I do like how he says, you look beautiful. And she actually, she doesn't think it's funny. She's like, thank you.
Yeah.
So nice. She's upset that she's not going to get to go. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know what she's going to be doing. I guess is she still talking about Twyla coming over? Or at this point, has she assumed that this isn't happening?
I don't know.
Has she just assumed she's going to be hanging out there by herself?
I'm not quite sure. I don't know that they give us much of a good reference to that. Like, whether she's still expecting her, she really doesn't say.
She does give him some great advice, though, before he leaves the room.
Hang on a second. Ahead. Actually, before you mention that, I have a little note that I wrote down about enjoying her own company. She's going to...
Oh,
so
okay.
I guess maybe she is not intending for her to come over.
Right,
I have a little, you know, like, so
enjoy her own company. So I guess after talking to Twyla and
or either David said that to her, or somewhere in the conversation there was a discussion about her own, you know, just kind of being on her own.
Yeah. So I guess she is starting to maybe not understand that it's a good thing, but deciding to at least buy into it and give it a shot. I mean, after, you know, Twyla came out and said so. Mm-hmm. You know, she flat out said, you know, I spend a lot of time by myself. Right. And if you can't be alone, how can you be with somebody else?
Yeah.
And then, of course, after talking to Stevie.
Yeah.
And she probably, I don't know if I would say genuinely likes these two people, but I'm sure she sees something in them that she would also like to have. You know what I mean? Like, they're so different from her.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe she's just accepting the fact that she's here and she's like, well, these people are so different. I wonder how they can do it. Maybe I can try this as well. I don't want to think too deeply into this, but maybe that's where she is.
Yeah. But she does give David a little piece of advice because he's concerned about the sketchy bar.
Mm-hmm.
That things could get a little...
Right.
Dangerous.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. But she says, if you do wake up duct taped in a chair, you can break it around your wrist by bringing them up over your head and bring it down very hard.
Yeah.
Which doesn't sound like it would work, but it seems like it's worked for her before.
Apparently so. She is knowledgeable about that topic.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So now back at the cafe, Johnny is thanking Moira for discouraging him from running for town council. And she tells him how Jocelyn's running, and he gets a hoot out of this. Again,
hoot.
I'm having a hard time speaking.
Yeah.
But he thinks that this is so funny.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine those two in town council and what a mess that would
Jocelyn's
be?
Jocelyn's running. This is going to be they'll have a monopoly on the town. And
well,
someone,
he sees it as hilarious first. But she even brings it up like, oh, they have a monopoly and then they can do whatever they want.
Yep. Someone needs to challenge them.
Right. Yes.
And Johnny said, should I?
She's like, so you're telling me now that I should run? And she's like, no, but somebody should.
Yeah. Well, no, she says about, I have nothing on my plate.
Right.
You know, council would hold you back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it would be a nice project running for council.
Yeah.
And Johnny's like super annoyed.
Yeah. At first I thought he was genuinely happy for her, just the way that he's talking. But no, then he keeps bringing it back to, yeah, this is really great. Because earlier when you told me not to run, I thought, it's funny. And she even says, how much longer are we going to do this? And he's like, just a bit more.
Yeah.
Now we're at the bar. And is this is the bar that remains the bar through the series,
I think,
right?
So, yeah.
Okay.
Isn't it like the Wobbly Elm or something, I think it's called?
I don't know.
I think it has a name.
I didn't see the sign outside.
I could be wrong.
All right.
I'm not sure. I might be making that up.
Right. But Stevie and David are in this bar.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no one else there.
Oh, it's dead. There's like three people there.
Yeah. I mean, she said no one under the age of 60.
Oh, yeah.
I do like how she says to him, it's like everyone saw you coming and left.
Yeah.
So really, they are the only people in this bar. I don't know what this bar is normally like. I know that we do see it later in the series, and it's
normally
a lot
it's
more
jumping.
Happening than it is now. They do take this moment to kiss, and then both are like, no, that's not a great
idea.
Yeah,
that didn't feel right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't a good thing. And this is, like you said, this is the scene where he mentioned about his match. His match that's 79 miles away.
Yeah, 79 miles away.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if we knew where they were, we would maybe be able to figure out what larger city that
is. Yeah.
But we don't.
Yeah. But they have no options there.
She does look over and say, and she says, I noticed the man's no longer sleeping under the pool table.
Right.
I like how David walks over and says, I'm surprisingly good at pool.
Right.
And then he doesn't know what rack the means.
Right, yeah, like, he has no idea. Yes. Yeah, and she said, oh, this is going to be fun.
This is going to be fun.
Yeah.
So that's the end of the bar scene, or the first scene of the series at that bar.
Yeah.
What'd you call it? The Wobbly
Elm? Like the Wobbly Elm. Elm. Like Elmdale.
All right, no, that makes sense. That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, I don't know why. That sticks in my head, but it could be wrong.
You might be right. So for the end of the episode, David returns to his room and he finds that Alexis is asleep.
Yeah,
and
Alexis
it's
is asleep
spotless.
And it's spotless. And he literally is just like walking around, like looking where there was just a mess earlier.
He even looks under his bed. There's nothing under
his bed. Nothing under his bed, right?
But he crawls over.
He goes to look
to
under
hers. Yes. And that's when you find out that she's not asleep. And she basically says, I didn't have anywhere to put things.
Don't, David.
Don't. Yes.
I had nowhere to put my stuff. And she's kind of muffled and in the pillow and blankets and everything.
But she did it. It's like
she had
made
her alone
it through
time.
An evening.
Yes.
Without someone else.
She cleaned up. And I'm also thinking, like, is she kind of cleaning up? This is symbolic of I'm cleaning up this relationship and I'm going to move forward.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
Another, like, you know, and we
cleaning
talk.
Cleaning up my mess of a life right now.
Right, yes. And we talk a lot in this, you know, over the course of this podcast and this series about how it has to do with growth and each of these people growing. And even though Moira's right now is purely out of spite, maybe she's growing as well. But I think this is really an Alexis episode.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, it's a nice little peek into her.
Right.
Finding herself and coming into her own, and taking that like little path to change that happens for her.
Right. So that's it. That's how the episode ends.
Yeah.
Wow. This is so great.
So at the end of every episode, we rank our Schitt's Creek episodes in order from greatest to least greatest episode of Schitt's Creek.
Mm-hmm.
So, Carla, if this episode were running for town council, would you give it your signature?
I would probably put this episode, the candidate or the candidate, whichever one we want to call it.
Or if you want to pronounce the D's, the candidate.
Candidate. Oh,
candidate.
That's tough.
Candidate.
Yeah, it's probably the right way to pronounce it, though.
Mm.
I would probably put it around I'm going to say it would be my new, nope, 13.
Okay. Okay.
My new number 13.
So your new number 13.
Kind of right in the middle.
Yeah, right under Carl's funeral. Yes. Who we, you know, we talked about how Kevin White wrote that episode
That's
as well.
That's right, yeah.
I'm going to be pretty similar. I think I'm probably going to put this, though, as my new 15.
Okay.
Like I said, I enjoyed the Alexis stuff. I think that this was a fine episode, as even the ones that we're not crazy about are. They're still good episodes.
Right.
But this wasn't one where, as we rewatched it, I found myself laughing. Like, there are episodes where I'm so surprised by how much fun I'm having watching it again.
Yeah.
This wasn't one of those, but again, I think that this was an important episode for Alexis. I think that this was an important episode also for Stevie and David to, like, go and do have more of an interaction.
Yeah, we didn't really even talk about that. Yeah. I feel like you kind of mentioned it, and then we just sort of moved away from that.
But to have more, but, and I don't want to keep going back to their relationship or them hooking up or something, but I feel like that dragged on for way too long, and it was like they couldn't get past it.
And now they are.
Like, now they are, because even when she was driving him to the Blouse Barn, that still seemed really tense. Like, that still did not seem like they were fine with this. So maybe that weird kiss was, like, the end of that, like, them moving beyond. Maybe that was the Alexis cleaning her room of their relationship, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's it. Thank you again, everyone, for listening. We really do appreciate it. And next time on the podcast, we will be discussing episode 8 of season 2, entitled Milk Money.
Milk Money, yes.
So until then, thanks again for listening. Find us on Facebook. I think I kind of let our...
everything else?
Go? All right, we only have a Twitter other than that.
Oh, okay.
And I think I let that kind of lapse.
Yeah, I don't.
So don't find us on Twitter.
Don't find us on Twitters.
Yeah. All right, everybody, we'll talk to you again in 2 weeks.
Warmest regards.